Hello, how are you? A little late today getting to you here on the Bernie Miklas Show on this Wednesday. Hope everything is well for you. I wanted to get into something. I have to do a follow-up. Now, some of you might be tired of me talking about Albert Pujols being a manager. I don't care. I mean, I care, but it's like I feel like I have to say some things because I want to clear some things up. There's some misconceptions out there about hiring managers. So if you would indulge me, I will try to get past this really quick. I have a lot of stuff, but I'll try to be quick. So let's get started. So I wanted to follow up on that video about Albert Pujols declaring his desire to become a big league manager either this season. Maybe somebody gets whacked, they hire him, or in 2026. Other than to reiterate how I think he'd be a great hire by the Cardinals, and there are a lot of reasons. We can go into that another time. I'll also repeat something I said the other day. If he wants to be the Cardinals manager, then they have to offer them the job, because if they don't offer them the job and someone else hires him as a manager, the Cardinals will never live it down. And that's especially true if he goes somewhere else after being snubbed by the Cardinals and he has success. That would only alienate more fans in St. Louis that have already been alienated and disappointed or fed up with the way the St. Louis Cardinals are running their team. All right, let's go. I got three issues, and please stick with me through this because I put a lot of work into this. Not that you need to like factor that in, but I'm just saying I put a lot of work into it so I would have a lot of information. So let's go to issue number one. I am told the Cardinals must hire an experienced major league manager. My answer, no, they don't have to do that. Baseball has changed dramatically in this regard, and it happened a long time ago. It's nothing new. Teams do not hesitate to hire first-time managers because a lot of them have done very, very well. And the most important task a manager has in today's game is to create a winning culture, to have a really positive, good, unified clubhouse. That's a big part of it. And by the way, that's one of the things Pujols would do great at. And this is what I mean about how I don't know why people are hung up on this, because this is so common now. Going into 2025, a total of 21 of the 30 teams have managers that had never managed in the majors before their current club gave them the job that they're in at the big league level, had never managed at the big league level before the team that they're with now gave them that chance. It's a better way to say that. Well, yeah, there's first-time managers that fail. I could make a long list of that, but the point is managers of every background fail, and just because some first-time managers fail doesn't mean you should exclude the idea of hiring a first-time manager, especially if that manager is a franchise icon known for his high IQ, baseball intelligence, leadership, desire to teach young players, relentless will to win. Oh, and by the way, a guy that also went into Tony La Russa's office every day, the entire time he was a player here with Tony in St. Louis, and went to class like every day about managing. He would ask Tony La Russa, why'd you do this? I thought you were going to do that. Why'd you bring this pitcher in? Tell me how you decided to set that lineup. What are the secrets? What are the keys to running a bullpen? I mean, on and on and on. Every single day, just about. He's in La Russa's office going to class. It's a master class of managing. So, I mean, come on now. Inexperience, come on. And for those of you who insist, this is my favorite part, I must admit. For those of you who insist the Cardinals have to hire an experienced big league manager, someone was giving me guff on that on social media the other day, which is fine. It was fine. I was polite in return. But for those who say, no, Bernie, they got to hire an experienced manager. Well, I got something to share with you. 8 of the 11 World Series won by the Cardinals in their franchise history were won by first-time managers who had not managed anywhere else in the big leagues and were hired by the Redbirds and given a shot at managing for the first time in the big leagues. 8 of the 11 won by first-time managers. Here you go. Let's go. Rogers Hornsby in 1926, Gabby Street in 1931, Frankie Frisch in 1934, Billy Southworth in 1942 and 44, Eddie Dyer in 1946, Johnny Keene in 1964, Red Shaney in 1967. That's 8. The other 3 were won by Tony La Russa, 2, and Whitey Herzog, 1. And in addition to those eight World Series titles that I already told you about, those eight first-time Cardinals managers also captured a combined 11 pennants. Gosh almighty, what were those Cardinals thinking about hiring those guys as first-time managers? They didn't have any managerial experience. I'm sorry, I had to be a little sarcastic this. And I'm going to tell you this too, and you won't like it, but I'm not doing this to incite anything. I'll be honest with you. I wanted to look this up, and I was actually surprised by what I found. Okay. And again, I'm not trying to be someone who's trolling. I'm not. I swear. I did a lot of research, and it's research, not me wanting to be like a loudmouth just trying to rile people up, right? So staying with the Cardinals, you can say what you want about Mike Matheny. You can say what you want about Mike Schilt. You could even say what you want, a lot of it negative, which is your call, about Ollie Marmol. But let's talk about this a minute. All three were first-time managers. I'm going to dwell on Matheny and Schilt because their time as managers here are already gone. Okay, this is what Schilt and Matheny did over a 10-year period as they managed the Cardinals. Matheny first, then Schilt took over basically at the All-Star break in 2018. So this is what they did combined, managing the Cardinals from 2012 through 21. 5.56 winning percentage, second in the National League, third in the majors. I didn't realize that. I should have. I would say that's pretty good. 25 postseason wins, third in the National League, fifth in the majors. Victories in five postseason rounds, plus a wild card win and the National League pennant in 2013. Matheny and Schilt made the postseason seven times in 10 seasons. There were some disappointments along the way. I couldn't stand Matheny the way he managed in the playoffs. The pressure got to him. It's okay to be disappointed that there wasn't more to show for that, but there was a lot to show for that. And as I like to say, it wasn't exactly a baseball hellscape when they were managing the team, right? Irritating in a lot of ways, but a lot of winning, a lot of winning. Didn't win a World Series, a lot of winning. People forget Tony La Russa was hired in 1996, didn't win his first World Series in St. Louis till 2006. I think he's in the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure. I'll have to double check on that. Okay, and even if we bring Ollie Marmol into this, let me duck here. Let me duck. I'm only kidding. If we bring Ollie into this, the combined regular season winning percentage of the three first-time managers, Matheny, Schilt, and Marmol, is .544. Okay, where does that rate? That ranks second in the National League and third overall in the majors since 2012. I'm not laughing at you for thinking they were terrible. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm laughing at myself because, frankly, I didn't realize the record was that good. The three guys, the three first-time managers. And the three managers, so again, second best winning percentage in the National League and third in the majors since 2012. All those years put together, those three managers. And then if you add Marmol into it, that they made the postseason eight times in 13 years. All right. I wasn't trying to troll you, I swear. I think that's interesting stuff because I was surprised by it. And I'm very rarely caught by surprise with stuff that I research. All right. More about first-time managers. You know, you can't hire these first-time managers. No, you can't do that. The Brewers hired Craig Counsell, a former Milwaukee player, never coached or managed a day in the minor leagues or in winter ball. Worked out pretty well, I would say. He beat the stuffing out of the Cubs and the Cardinals, two teams that spent infinitely larger amount more money than the smaller payroll Brewers. Cleveland's Stephen Vogt. You might not have heard of him too much because he's in the American League. 2024 American League Manager of the Year. No managerial experience at any level. He led the low-budget Guardians to the postseason, and they even won a wild-card playoff round. 2018, the Red Sox hired a rookie manager, Alex Cora. And he, the first season on the job, he became one of only five rookie managers in MLB history to win a World Series. Another was in the inexperienced Bob Brenly, never managed anywhere. He won the 2001 World Series with the Arizona as the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Tampa Bay hired two, not one, but two successful first-time managers, Joe Maddon and then Kevin Cash. Each of them won a pennant. Both of them had winning percentages of safely above 500. And we're talking about a franchise that annually, you know, ranks anywhere from 28th to last in the major leagues in payroll. Dave Roberts, first time manager when the Dodgers hired him. He not only has the best winning percentage by a manager in Major League history, he's also got 4 pennants and 2 World Series titles. Yeah, the Dodgers spent a lot of money. I may have heard about that. We all know that. But no manager is better than Dave Roberts at running a clubhouse and managing all the egos in the clubhouse. If he was such a lousy manager, the Dodgers wouldn't have stuck with him. Okay? He's good at what he does. He's got the benefits that other managers don't have, which is a massive payroll. You could say the same about Aaron Boone. Hey, Bruce Bochy, we kind of forget a little bit about this. Boch had never managed in the major leagues before San Diego gave him a shot, and he took the Padres to the postseason twice in his first 4 seasons. Both times they lost to the Cardinals. That's pretty good for a first-time manager, because it's not like the Padres have been this dynasty team, right? He later won 3 World Series with the Giants and 1 with Texas and is a lock for the Hall of Fame. Had to start somewhere. He started in San Diego, and he was a good manager for them. Dusty Baker, first managing gig was in San Francisco. His first season, he won 103 games. He led the Giants to 3 postseason appearances, plus the NL pennant. In his extensive career as a manager, Baker led 5 different teams to the postseason, won 3 pennants in a World Series. He is a lock to be a Hall of Fame selectee in the manager group. Sparky Anderson, heard of him? Yeah, first-time manager. Had never managed before the Reds hired him. Then he also went to the Tigers. I think he's the only guy that ever won a – no, actually, Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa won the World Series for American League and National League team. And Sparky did that as well. Going back to my childhood, I remember when the Orioles hired a guy named Earl Weaver, who I later found out was a native of St. Louis, Beaumont High School. Well, they hired Earl in the middle of the 68 season. Now, you got to remember, in 1966, the Orioles were a huge surprise. They were a huge underdog. They were called the Baby Birds because they were very young. And the Baby Birds not only beat the Dodgers in the World Series, they swept the Dodgers in 4 games. So I remember 2 things about the Weaver hire. I never heard of him. Dad, who is he? Dad, what? Who is this guy? Who's Earl? I never heard of him, Dad. Tell me about him. Oh, he's managing the AAA team. Okay, thanks, Dad. We'll see. I couldn't understand. I'd say, hey, Dad, who was Bernie Sr., by the way, Dad, why did they fire Hank Bauer? By the way, Hank Bauer's from East St. Louis. Dad, why did they hire Hank Bauer? He just won the World Series not that long ago. Dad, I don't understand this. Well, I kind of figured it out pretty soon, because Weaver, in his first 3 full seasons as the Orioles manager, won the American League pennant, and he built a Hall of Fame career, and he was way out in front of anyone else about understanding the thing that they now call analytics, right? Talk about Moneyball. Earl Weaver was there. He was there sitting at the bar of analytics before anyone else walked into the joint, okay? Jim Leland, we like him. I remember a lot of times people say, oh, you got to get that Jim Leland to hire the Cardinals. Yeah, I agree. Jim Leland's a Hall of Fame manager. First-time manager, never had a managing gig when the Pirates hired him. He was really good there until they started gutting the payroll. First-time manager, Larry Durker, a friend of mine back in the day. He won 4 straight division titles after Houston hired him. I'm not saying he's like Walter Austin or anything, but pretty damn good manager, all things considered. And he was really inexperienced as far as any kind of coaching or managing. Dave Martinez in Washington, who is now overseeing that rebuild. Dave Martinez, first-time manager, had a lot of interviews. No one ever hired him. Washington hired him. Dave Martinez won a World Series in his 2nd season with the Nationals. First-time manager Matt Quatraro this past season led the Royals to the playoffs unexpectedly in his 2nd year as the manager. First-time manager Brian Snitker has a .558 winning percentage in Atlanta, won the World Series in 2021. Again, Aaron Boone, I'm not sitting here saying I think he's a great manager. I don't think he's great. I think he's okay. I think he's good, but the bottom line is he has some success, maybe not as much as he should. And I would agree with those of you who say, well, yeah, put him in Pittsburgh. What would he do? You know, we can say that about just about any manager who wins, right? But anyway, Aaron Boone in 7 seasons, the Yankees, .584 winning percentage. His team's made the postseason 6 times, 7 years, and won the American League pennant last year. Bottom line's pretty good, could be better. He never coached or managed in the minor leagues either. First-time manager Rocco Baldelli has taken the Twins, he's still there, to 3 playoff trips in 6 seasons. First-time manager Joe Espada took the Astros the playoffs last year, his first season. Carlos Mendoza, first-time manager, led the Mets into the 2004 NLCS, lost to the Dodgers, but that's pretty good first season by a guy never managed in the bigs. In 2-plus seasons in Philadelphia, first-time manager Rob Thompson's got a .575 percentage, winning percentage, and a National League pennant. First-time manager Torey Lovullo has 6 winning records in 2 postseasons and 8 seasons with the Diamondbacks. He won the NL pennant in 2023. First-time manager John Schneider, I think he's on the hot seat now, but he led Toronto to 2 postseasons in his first 3 years on the job coming into this year. First-time manager Skip Schumacher led the Miami Marlins, as you know, to the playoffs, big surprise, and won the National League Manager of the Year, well-deserved, in 2023. Brandon Hyde was brought in to manage the Orioles during their total tear-down rebuild phase, and after getting through that, he's got a .566 winning percentage, an American League East title, and 2 postseasons in the last 3 years. All right. There's other examples. I cut myself off. Let's move on to issue number 2. I am told that great players, Hall of Fame players, don't make good managers. And Pujols was a great player, so Mike Birney, I don't know about this, might not be a good idea to hire him. Well, I don't know. Again, let's look to our own history here with the St. Louis Cardinals. Rogers Hornsby is a Hall of Fame player, one of the greatest who ever lived. Managed the Cardinals to a World Series title. He wasn't a great manager in his career because he's a problematic personality, but he did win a World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals as their skipper. Frankie Fish, voted in the Baseball Hall of Fame as a player. He managed the 1934 Cardinals to the World Series. The beloved Red Shandies was voted in the Baseball Hall of Fame as a player. He managed the Cardinals to 2 pennants in a World Series. And he won exactly 1,041 games as the manager in St. Louis. I have a long list. I'm just going to read their names. I have a long list of other really good players, great players, award-winning players, heralded players, Hall of Fame players who had success as big league managers in no particular order. Walter Johnson, Cap Anson, Dave Bancroft, Leo DeRocher, Lou Boudreau, who won with the Cleveland Indians as a player manager in 46, won the World Series. Bob Lemon, great pitcher. Bill McKechnie, Yogi Berra, Joe Torre, Dusty Baker, Lou Piniella, Wilbert Robinson, Ty Cobb, Gabby Hartnett, Tris Speaker, Casey Stengel, Bucky Harris. And then there's two guys that actually did a better job than their records would show. Like when Ted Williams took over as the Washington Senators manager back in 19, I forget the year, I wrote it down. But they had won, they had had a horrendous season the first year before he got there. I mean, a horrendous record. It was worse than even the record the Cardinals had in 2023. But he won 86 games. 87 games his first year. He just didn't like managing. He got tired of it. And Frank Robinson's a lot better than his record shows because he turned around several teams after he walked into terrible situations. So I just want to throw that out. Okay, let's get to the final issue. Issue number 3, and I've heard this, and I have read this, and it's fine. I don't mind anyone saying this, but I'd like to have an opinion on it. Here's the opinion I hear from others. If you hire Pujols, you're going to probably have to fire him one day. Listen, I'm sorry, but what does that have to do with anything? Managers are hired. Managers are fired. Managers retire. Managers resign. Managers move into the front office. No team that I recall ever has thought about not hiring someone because they might have to fire him. I mean, seriously. Can we kind of put on our big boy pants and be adults on this kind of thing? If a team doesn't have enough faith in the manager to hire him, if they think he's going to fail, well, then don't hire him. But if you think the guy's going to be a good manager, if you're really excited about hiring him, well, hire him. Because the only manager for life that I'm aware of is Connie Mack. Look him up in Baseball Reference, you youngins. And that's because Connie Mack never got fired as a institutional manager in a city one for a long time, he never got fired because he owned the team. So that's the only guy that was, you know, it would never happen that he was going to get fired. For gosh sake, Joe Torre is one of the most popular, beloved managers the Yankees ever had. He grew up in Queens, one of the five boroughs in New York. After the Yankees endured years of cycling after manager after manager after manager, the Bronx Zoo, George Steinbrenner going bananas, going nuts, you know, players, bad clubhouses, controversies all the time. They hired Joe Torre to calm things down in 96, same Joe Torre that had been fired by the Cardinals as a manager in June of 1995. Well, in 12 seasons of managing the Yankees, Torre won six pennants. He won four World Series. He had a .605 winning percentage. But late in his tenure, he had a falling out with the general manager, Brian Cashman. Their relationship really soured. And I remember reading this soap opera of a story after the 2007 season. You know, Torre was waiting around. He thought maybe the Yankees was offering a contract extension. They didn't offer him a contract extension, but they did call him into a meeting, and they made it clear to him that no contract extension would be forthcoming. And even though this was framed as both sides agreeing, you know, what the heck, it's probably best to move on. It's okay. We're all departing as friends. No, it wasn't like that. Joe Torre was fired, okay? Does he hate the Yankees? No. Does he stay away from Yankee Stadium? No. Did he patch things up with Brian Cashman? Yes, in 2010. It's all good. St. Louis and Yogi Berra was bitter after being fired by the Yankees owner, Steinbrenner. Didn't get much of a fair shake there. This was in the 80s, 85, 86. But Steinbrenner fired pretty much everybody, right? Berra stayed away from Yankee Stadium for a long time, but eventually he made peace with boss Steinbrenner, and all was good in the final years of his life. And here's another thing. By the way, there are other examples, but again, I didn't want to just keep going with that. But I do want to point this out because I think this is important. Here's another thing about Pujols. You got to remember, he left the Cardinals to sign a $240 million deal with the Angels after 2011. Listen, that was his right to do so. I was only upset at some of the stuff he said after he signed there. But, hey, man, baseball's a business, and that was a good reminder. Albert Pujols was upset by the Cardinals' final contract offer and made the decision to go. And I think maybe he reacted, you know, because he was mad. And I just wonder if he thought it all the way through. The Cardinals made a very good offer. It wasn't as good as the Angels offer, but it was very, very good, and it had a lot of deferred salary, and apparently Albert and his agent didn't like the deferred salary. So Albert took the Anaheim deal instead. But if you really want to be honest about this, oh, man, there's been so much ridiculous revisionist history on this. It's like, you know, I'll never forgive the Cardinals for letting Albert Pujols walk. If you really want to be honest about this, it actually worked out well for the Cardinals. First of all, they got a draft pick as compensation who became Michael Wacha. That's one reason. Number two, you know, Pujols had started to decline as a player in 2011. Oh, he was still really good, but his numbers at that point were starting to drop. So the Anaheim Angels paid the Cardinals got the very best of Albert Pujols of his career, his first 11 seasons. And the Anaheim Angels and Artie Moreno, their owner, they had to pick up the tab, $240 million worth of the tab, as Pujols went into gradually and then suddenly went into a very steep decline. And when he went into those really unsightly decline years, I mean, he couldn't DH, not for a National League team. But that didn't come into effect until 2022. And by then, he could be a DH. And it didn't work out for Pujols. Like I said, it worked out well for the Cardinals if you have the honesty to acknowledge that. And it didn't work, other than the money, of course, it didn't work out all that swell for Pujols. He played in one postseason for the Angels, a total of three games in nine-plus years. And this is a guy who loves and loves and loves to win. But it all ended well. Pujols returned to Busch Stadium to play his farewell season. What was he, 42 years old? He came back to the Cardinals. He came back to Busch Stadium. He came back to the fans. That experience in 2022 was one of the most wonderful things I've ever had the pleasure to witness. it was just a beautiful thing. I mean, love was in the air, all this stuff, truly special. Pujols and the DeWitts and Mozeliak couldn't have been happier with how it went. Albert could not have been happier with how it went. It's a shame they didn't make a run in the postseason, but it was just a beautiful experience all summer. And the great St. Louis fan base was really re-energized by Pujols along the way. And they energized him. He re-energized them. He energized the fans. The fans energized him. And he had a season to remember and wildly exceeded expectations in 2022. See, the team and the player still loved each other very, very much. And I look at it this way. When Pujols left, he was mad, didn't want to work for the Cardinals anymore. So he fired the Cardinals. He fired the Cardinals when he went to Anaheim. So if Pujols, the player, could fire the Cardinals, right? What the hell would be so horrendous if it came to this one day where the Cardinals had to fire Pujols, the manager? It's baseball. We are all adults here, okay? The needless worrying over nothing has got to stop, in my opinion. Thank you for watching. I enjoyed getting this all out because I did all this research and I got to put it somewhere that, and I'm fired up about it. So I hope this was enlightening in some way, but more than that, just thank you so much for watching the Bernie Miklas Show here on the YouTube channel. Please subscribe.